If you will, bow your heads and pray with me and pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I do want to thank you first and foremost and just worship you and give you glory for the blood of Jesus Christ, that we're able to stand here this morning forgiven, redeemed, and in your sight, God, that we're clean this morning. But God, I know that my life sometimes I turn left or I turn right, and God, that I get out of line with where I'm supposed to be. And God, I pray that you'll forgive me for the times that I sin and I come short. God, I pray that you'll forgive me for the times that I let my mind wander. God, forgive me for the times that you're not first in my life. God, I pray that you'll help us as we're here today, God, that we will look into our own lives, God, we'll take an account of ourselves, and God, that when we leave here, that we'll be closer than we were when we came. God, I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's lost, I pray that something that has already been said, sung, or something that'll be said through your word, God, will speak to their heart, that they'll hear that still, small voice, God, and before the end of the service today, that they'll step out and accept you. God, we thank you and we praise you most of all that you love sinners like us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Acts chapter number 26. We're going to begin reading in verse number 24. Kind of to understand where we're at here in this scripture, Paul has been arrested and he has been taken and he has went through several leaders and kings, and they're looking at him and they're trying to find judgment for Paul. And Paul keeps, going to the next level. What's the word I'm looking for right there? Somebody help me. Appealing. He keeps appealing his case to the next level. So in verse number 24, we find that Paul is standing before King Agrippa. Look what verse number 24 through verse number 29, how it reads. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice. So Paul's speaking, and Festus is like the king's right-hand man. Said, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. See, Paul's standing here and he's giving these guys the gospel. He's not pleading his case. He's not asking for forgiveness. He's not begging for mercy, but yet he just continue to do exactly what he got arrested for. And he's just telling them the gospel. And Festus says, you know what? Much learning has made, you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy, Paul, for everything that you've just said here and done. But you know what? I wish that in my life, I wish that Jesus would shine so bright out of my life and the glory of God would shine so bright out of my life that I would never think about the consequences that come to me, that I would never think about my personal life, because you know what? God's already told me that he's going to take care of me no matter what. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of these things shall be added unto you. So I wish that in my life that God's glory and God's presence would be so bright in my life that people would look and say, this guy is crazy. This guy, because I don't know of any other thing that I'd rather be called crazy for than giving God glory in my life. I don't know of anything else in the world that I would rather people look at me and say, that guy's not just right. Hey, y'all know that I'm not right. Y'all been with me for about 3 years now. Y'all know that I got a loose screw or two. But I want you to know that I would love for people to look at me and say, that guy loves God so much. The glory of God is shining out of his life so much that he is almost crazy. But I'm going to tell you this morning, that's not the case in my life. But here Paul is, and he's just continued to give them the gospel. Verse number 25, and he said, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe what I'm saying? I know that you believe. Look in verse number 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. One of the most dangerous places that you can be in your life is almost. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not thou, only thou, but also all that hear me this day, we're both almost and altogether such as I am, except in these bonds. As we read the scripture this morning and we see that King Agrippa gives Paul the explanation or gives him the response, Paul says, King Agrippa, do you believe what the prophets say? Do you believe what I've sat here and told you today? And King Agrippa looks at Paul and says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. See, as Paul was talking to King Agrippa that day, or preaching to King Agrippa that day, King Agrippa realized that there was undone business in his life, that there was things in his life that needed to be taken care of, that the what the prophets had said and the truth and the gospel, that he hasn't responded to that. And Paul looks at him and says, King Agrippa, I know that thou believest. More or less saying, now what are you going to do with what the belief that you have? And King Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me. But as far as we can read in God's word, and as far as I know, standing here this morning, King Agrippa never took care of the business in his life. King Agrippa never made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. He never surrendered under what Paul had to tell him there that day. As far as I know, standing right here this morning, not my place to judge, but as far as I know, King Agrippa is in hell this morning because he never responded to the gospel. This morning as he looked and he said, almost thou persuaded me. I want to ask you this morning, is there business in our life that we need to take care of between us and God? Is there anything in our lives? As King Agrippa sat there that day, he realized that there was business that he should have took care of. Or yet he wouldn't have told Paul, almost thou persuadest me. He knew that he should have responded, but yet he didn't. This morning I want us to look into our lives. I want us to take a deep look into our Christian walk, into our life with Jesus Christ, into your life. Or maybe you have a lack of a walk of Jesus Christ. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. This morning, I want us to look into our lives and say, is there any business in my life that needs to be taken care of? As far as we know, King Agrippa never took care of his business. What I want to ask you this morning, or maybe what I want to say to you this morning, is it's time to take care of your business. It's time to take care of what's going on in your life. You know, Autumn's dad, for one, and some of the older Southern gentlemen that I get to be around sometimes, they don't say business, they say business. And this morning, I want to ask you something, or I want to tell you something, that it's time to quit putting off and almost being persuaded, or almost making a decision, or almost moving, but it is time for you to take care of your business. It is time for us to look into our lives and say, okay, what in my life needs adjusting? Don't be almost persuaded. Don't be almost what God wants you to be. Don't be almost a Christian. But I want us this morning, I want us to look and say, I'm tired of being almost persuaded. I'm tired of almost being what God wants me to be. I'm tired of almost being a Christian. I'm going to get this business took care of in my life. I'm going to change some things. I'm going to do some things in my life so that I'm not like King Agrippa and be remembered for the one that was almost persuaded. In order for us to do that, first of all, we have to admit that we have business that needs taken care of. We have to look into our lives and see, do I have anything in my life that needs to be taken care of between me and God or with God? You need Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, I know there's some tight-lipped Baptists, there's some people that wear their ties just a little tighter than I wear mine that think they have to wear a coat and carry a Bible everywhere they go and they've never sinned. Bless the Lord for them. I'm glad. But can I tell you this morning that as your pastor, as a preacher, as a Christian, as someone that is trying my best to follow God's leadership in my life, that Satan is very deceiving in my life, that Satan is very tempting in my life. We know that the Bible tells us, and we'll go ahead and throw this out there because we like this verse, if you know to do good and you don't do it, the Bible says to you it is sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we'll throw that out there so that we're all safe. We all can say that we have sin and it's because of the good things that we haven't done. But I want to tell you this morning that maybe not in your life, but in my life, Satan is very good, he is very tricky, and he is very tempting with the things that he brings in my life. And sometimes in my Christian walk, sometimes in my life, as your pastor at Fellowship, as a preacher, a minister of the gospel, as someone that is trying to follow God's leadership in my life, there are times that I choose sin in my life. Wow, that was quiet. There are times that you choose sin in your life. Amen. We can sit here and we can be holy. We can sit here and say, I've got my holy britches on this morning. Hey, don't get me wrong. It's under the blood. I'm thankful that God has forgiven me of my sin. And even right now, the Bible tells me that if I will confess my sins, that he'll be faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But can we just be honest with ourselves this morning while we're looking for the business that needs to be took care of in our lives and say that there are times that we choose sin in our life. There are times that we make bad choices. There are times that Satan lays a snare in front of us. And then there are times when we choose our flesh over our spirit. The Bible says that that is an ongoing war in our life, and sometimes our flesh wins, and we sin, and we come short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us, to him that saith they have no sin, that you're a liar and the truth is not in you. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look, so some of you that maybe are having a difficulty admitting that sin comes your way from time to time. For some of us that are, maybe we've been saved a long time and we're past sinning. God bless you if you are. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 16. Look what Jesus says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now look, I've seen some of you in gymnasiums. You are not always holy. Amen. I've seen some of you on ball fields. You are not always holy. Now, just because you're fussing at the ref don't mean you're unholy, because sometimes they need fussing that. Amen. That's a good place for an amen. But there are times that we in our lives, day to day, I'm picking about the ball thing. I love ball. But day to day, we are not always holy in our life. Have you ever, again, I'll talk about me. There have been times that I've had a little something to say. I don't cuss. That's just not something I do. I do my best to protect my testimony, and I don't cuss. But there's been little times that maybe at work that you said a little something that was sort of sideways, and I'd go back up there in my office, and I'd feel the Holy Spirit go to picking at my heart going, shouldn't have said that. Or there have been times that a thought has run through my mind, and then the Holy Spirit going, what are you thinking about? Hey, I can't always control what goes through here, but I can control how long it stays. No, you can't. Sure you can. When those thoughts come along and you're all of a sudden thinking where you shouldn't be thinking, you grab your Bible. You get on your knees and begin to pray, and those thoughts will leave you. But a lot of times, if we're not careful, we'll please our flesh and let that thought stay longer than it should stay. But, you know, the Bible says here that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or we have sinned, and some of us have trouble admitting that. So look, can we admit that we're not always holy? Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 48. For those of you that are still, I hadn't hit in your potato patch yet. For the ones of you that are still just, well, I'm glad he's preaching to everybody else this morning, because I had to do some repenting and some looking into my business before I could even get up here and preach this morning. So if I hadn't hit you yet, let's look at this one. There's probably still one we might not get with this. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Now, there may still be one in the congregation this morning that goes, well, I'm glad he's preaching to everybody this morning, because they think that they're perfect. Let's pray for them as a church. Amen. But as we get into this, if you look into your life and you say, well, I'm not sinning, I don't have it. Yeah, you're already lying to yourself right there. But if you can look and say, I'm always holy, I seriously doubt that there's any of us that can say, I'm always perfect. So just in this few verses right here, I hope that we have looked and we can all say that we have business that needs to be taken care of between us and God. There is somewhere, something in my life that I can take care of between me and God. So as we get into this morning, as far as King Agrippa was, he found business that needed to be taken care of, and he said, almost I'm going to take care of that business. So maybe this morning you have already looked into your life as we've been going through this. You have already looked and you know that there's business that needs to be taken care of. Are you going to take care of it? Or are you going to leave here saying, well, I realized that there was business and I almost took care of it. Well, how do I take care of it? Since you're going to tell me that I have business that needs to be taken care of, how do I take care of it? Let's look in James chapter number 1, verse number 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse number 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if by any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. The first thing that we have to do in order for us to take care of the business in our life, look, this is going to be a sort of a big task, is we got to become doers of the word. You know, I love God's word. God's word is beautiful. God's word is powerful. God's word is comforting. It's soothing. God's word is awesome. But if I just always have God's word laying over here on the shelf somewhere, or even if I just read it, or can if we just say the only time that I take in God's word is on Sunday morning and maybe Wednesday night, and we're not taking this word and applying it to ourselves, it can be awesome, powerful, beauty, comforting, soothing. It can be all those things. But if we're not applying it in our lives, it's empty to us. Because this word is not made for us. Just this is the living word. I don't know about you guys, but there's been times in my life when I didn't know what I was looking for in God's word. But I needed something from God. I needed to hear from God. I needed instruction. I needed peace. I needed something in my life. And I'd get in here and just begin to read. And I'd turn the page and read a little more. And there's been times when all of a sudden a scripture would just jump out at me. And God would say, this is here for you today. This is what you needed exactly today. Just in the past couple of weeks, there's been Wednesday nights when we left after service. And the next morning, someone would text me and say, look what was in my devotional today, and a verse that just reiterated everything that we said on Wednesday night. This is the living word of God. I have read passages over and over and over again and get different meanings and different comfort out of the passage each and every time. But we've got to learn to be doers of the word and not hearers only. If we sit here this morning and we hear God speak to us and we know that there's business that needs to be taken care of in our life, are we going to sit here and just hear it? Or are we going to do something about it? A lot of times I hear the word of God. A lot of times I know that there's things that need adjusting in my life. A lot of times I know that there's things I need to be doing for God. And I hear it and I hear it and I never, ever react or respond. I never move. I'm a hearer of the word and not a doer. The word of God can be so wonderful, so powerful, so awesome, but if we always just leave it somewhere collecting dust, then we're never going to become a doer of the word. We're always going to be a hearer of the word. We're going to be someone that we know that God, hey, King Agrippa was a hearer of the word. Paul stood and told him exactly what the prophets had said. Paul stood and gave him the gospel, and he said, now what are you going to do about it, King Agrippa? What are you going to do with what you have heard? And King Agrippa said, almost, in my words, almost, I'm going to do something about it. And this morning we can look and we can either be doers of the word. We can either be a church that rises up and be doers of the word. Or we can sit here and we can do church from now on. We can come in on Sunday mornings with our best clothes on, with our best singing voices, with whatever we want to do. We can come in here and shake hands. We can come in here and fellowship. And I love all of that. But when are we going to reach out and be doers of the word and carry this word out into a lost and a dying world and let others know what the blood of Jesus Christ can do for them? Are we going to become a church that God wants us to be? I firmly believe that God wants us to be a place where sinners can come in. They feel the power and the presence of God. They respond to Him and come to know Him as their personal Savior. We can either sit here and be hearers of the word, or we can respond and be doers of the word and let God use us for what He wants us to be. That begins individually, and then it'll spread corporately. If we also want to take care of the business that's in our life, first of all, we have to admit the business that we have, business that needs to be taken care of. The next thing we have to do is we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Thirdly, we have to turn to Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6, verse number 41. I'm almost done. Luke chapter number 6, verse number 41. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. If you're going to take care of the business that's in your life, you're going to have to keep your nose out of everybody else's. If you're going to take care of the business in your life, then you're going to have to keep your nose out of everybody else's business. Now look, we are a very concerned people. We are really concerned with others' business. You know, the scripture that we read over in James talks about a man who looks into a mirror, and everything looks fine to him, and then he walks away, but he forgets what he looks like. You know, there's times that maybe Silas will get up and he'll get ready for school, or the girls, either one. And they'll go in there and they'll look in the mirror and everything looks okay, but then you get halfway down the road and maybe there's a rooster's tail sticking up. But he don't know anything about that because he's not looking. He sees me. He wants to tell me what's wrong with me. And I want to tell him what's wrong with him. because we're no longer looking in the mirror. And so many times in our spiritual lives, we can't take care of the business that's in our life because we're too far stuck into our neighbor's business. We're too far with our nose into somebody else's business. Well, that Corey met us. That boy, he could be really what God wants him to be, but he's got this, 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 and this going on. And I may have something just as bad or worse going on in my own life, but I can't see my own because I'm stuck in his business. The Bible says here, he says, how in the world are you going to help your brother when you can't even take care of your own business? And so many times in our Christian walks, we get to the place that we have things that need to be taken care of between us and God. We have things that I need to get forgiveness for from God. I have things where I'm not holy in my life that I need to work out between me and God. I'm not perfect yet, so I need to still be working on myself. But I can't work on myself because I'm judging my neighbor. I'm taking other people that I go to church with, and I'm analyzing their life. I'm putting them under the bus. I'm putting them in a place where I think that I'm just a little holier than they are because I seen, I heard, I witnessed. I want to tell us something this morning. If we're going to take care of the business in our own lives, we better keep our noses out of everybody else's. I'm not telling you not to be concerned for your neighbor. I'm not telling you not to love your neighbor. I'm not telling you not to hold people accountable for the word of God. But what I'm saying is when we get to the place that we're spending so much time in everybody else's business that our walk with Christ is going off the path, then we need to back up and we need to take a look at ourselves and get ourselves right with God that we may be able to minister unto others. There is a time and a place that I can help you spiritually. There's a time and a place that you can help me spiritually with something that's going on in my life. But I want to tell you something. If you're looking at me and judging me, and if you're looking at me and the only thing you can see is that you're a little holier than I am because you got your nose in my business, then we're in the wrong spot. You can't minister to me whatsoever. You can't help me whatsoever because you've got something in your own eye that needs to be taken care of first. I didn't really think this would be a hallelujah message. I didn't really think anybody would be running laps this morning. But my focus this morning is to look at our lives and see if we have business that needs to be taken care of. Even as we sit here this morning, some of the things that may have been said, you might have been thinking about somebody that sits next to you, somebody that sits in front of you. Scotty's probably thinking about all the things that Lynn does all the time right now. Amen, he's right. We all need to pray for Lynn, very, very much so. But it does no good for Scotty to think about Lynn's business. Because what happens then is he's overlooking the business that's in his life. I manage a business. If I get so concerned about my competitor's business and forget about mine, you know what's going to happen? Mine's going to go down the drain very quickly. And that's what happens with our Christian walk when we get so concerned with everybody else's business and we're not handling our own business, then we get to the place that ours is going down the drain. So first of all, we have to realize that we have business that needs to be handled. We have to look at ourselves and see if we're being doers of the word or just hearers. We have to keep our nose out of everybody else's business. And then one last scripture I want to give you this morning is Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. You've got to realize that you can't handle your business. This morning, if you're sitting here and you're saying, well, wait a minute, you mean God expects me to be perfect? God expects me to be holy? God expects me not to sin? God expects me to walk where I'm supposed to walk? I can't do all those things. You're exactly right. You can't. You can't even keep your nose out of everybody else's business. Because there's something about us that we like to talk about other people's business. But look what we can do. Look right here, Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. This morning, if you've looked and you realize that you have business in your life that needs taken care of, if there's sin that needs to be taken care of, if there's unholiness that needs to be taken care of, I want to tell you this morning that I've been telling you to handle your business, but the way that you handle your business is you give it to God. That is the only way that you can handle your business. This morning as we're sitting here, maybe some of you have realized that you have business, unhandled business in your life. Hannah, if you will, come on, get ready to sing for us, please. Maybe you've already realized that there is business in your life that needs to be taken care of. Well, preacher, now if I come to the altar, everybody's going to think that I've either got my nose in somebody else's business, or that I'm sinning, or that I'm not living a holy life. Or, let me say something. If you care about what other people think, That proves my point that they got their nose stuck in your business and they need to be on the altar right beside of you. None of us like for anybody to tell us that we're wrong. And don't think that there's a preacher standing up here telling you that you're wrong, because you know what? I'm not the standard. I'm not the rule. I'm not the rule maker. But when I got in God's word and God began to give me this message, I found out by the standard that there was things that need to be took care of in my life. I found out that there was things in my life. Hey, maybe God's been speaking to you about reading your Bible more, about praying more, about witnessing more. You know what? Sometimes I leave here on Sunday afternoons and I go, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to tell that guy about Jesus Christ. I'm going to be more open tomorrow than I've ever been. I'm going to lay the gospel out. And I leave here on a spiritual high. I leave here after y'all sung songs about the blood and about God being good, and I leave here on a spiritual high. And you know what? When Monday morning comes and that clock goes off and I drive to work, the first thing that hits my mind, I need to do time cards. I need to do this. I need to do that. And all of this world comes flooding in. And what I left here saying, this is business that I need to take care of my life, goes out the window. And I become a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. I know I need to read more. I know I need to pray more. I know I need to witness more. Maybe you just desire a closer walk with God. Maybe God has instructed you to give more. Maybe there's some habits, some addictions in your life that you need to get rid of. Maybe there's some business that needs to be taken care of in your life. Maybe there's sin. We don't like to think about this, but every individual in this congregation this morning, you have something that the devil attacks you with. There is a sin that the devil attacks you with. I don't know what it is. Trust me, I know what mine is. I know what Satan attacks me with. But whatever yours is, how many times with what I deal with and what Satan attacks me with, whether it be worry, I can't go to naming sins because we're going to get embarrassed and blush before it's all said and done. But whatever it is in your life that Satan attacks you, how many times have you failed? And then after you failed, God began to work on your heart and you go, I'm never, ever going to fall for that again. I'm never, ever going to worry again. I'm never, ever going to say that again. That's not coming into my life again. And if you're like me, tomorrow I'm saying the same thing. But let's get that business took care of. You know why? Because I'm trying to take care of that business myself. I hadn't said, here, God, here's my business. Take care of it. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Preacher, I hear you. More than that, I hear the voice of God. There's business in my life that needs to be taken care of. I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. No doubt in my mind that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But there is business in my life that needs to be took care of. It's none of my business what that business is. But preacher, I just want to acknowledge that I know that I have business that needs to be taken care of. And I want you to pray for me that I won't leave here almost persuaded, but by the time I leave here today, that I'll give my business to God and let Him handle my business. Would you just lift your hand and say, preacher, I know that I have business. I see your hand. You put it right down. See your hand. There's hands all over the church. You're not alone. We all have business that we need to be took care of, that we need to give to God. Preacher, I'm here this morning. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know that the business that I need to have taken care of is I need to be saved. I don't know if I can do it today or not, preacher, but I want you to pray for me that God would give me. I don't want to leave here almost a Christian. I want to leave here a child of God. Would you just slip up your hand and let me pray for you? Won't come to you. Won't say your name. I'll just be praying for you. Just slip up your hand. Preacher, I've never been saved. I want you to pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your many blessings. Thank you for this message. Even though, God, it convicted my heart. And God, I realize that I've got business that needs to be taken care of. And God, I pray that you'll help me to come and get these things right. God, I pray that you'll help me to give my business to you and let you handle it for me. God, if there is somebody here that just couldn't raise their hand that they're lost, God, give them strength. Give them courage. God, speak to them, and may they come and accept you before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name, amen.